Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines of the mainstream news. I'm Janine Jackson, here with Steve Rendell. The massive and sustained public pushback against Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's anti-labor and anti-poor and anti-woman plans has heartened many people across the country. But it's clearly startled and confused the corporate press corps. The protests and public support for them undermine elite media narratives of long standing, like the one expressed a few weeks back in Time magazine that, quote, "Since the beginning, Americans have resented government workers asking for money," close quote. At the recent National Conference for Media Reform, the nation's John Nichols, also associate editor of Wisconsin's Capital Times, talked about the gap between the press and the people on the Wisconsin protests. Here's John Nichols.
Everything about the way that major media has covered the Wisconsin struggle is rooted in assumptions about the labor movement and about the support that people give to the labor movement. And it's two very simple assumptions. One, the labor movement is a dinosaur waiting to die, you know, and two, the American people are out there with pitchforks and guns and whatever else trying to kill it. Because we hate labor, and we hate unions, and we hate collective bargaining. We despise. You know, man, if you've got a blue collar, we hate you. You know, and so, I mean, it's a very simple equation. We all know what's going on. This is what all of our media tells us again and again. We only sort of like labor if it's, you know, someplace, you know, maybe in Egypt. You know, labor union in Egypt, that's kind of cool. They come out, that's okay. Foreign country, labor rights, yes, labor rights are human rights in other countries. But America, So... That's, you get those concepts. And then, two quick little interventions here. See, keep it, I'm not beating on the New York Times. The New York Times is just, the only reason I talk about the New York Times is because everybody talks about Fox and Rush Limbaugh. If Fox and Rush Limbaugh didn't exist, we'd still have exactly the same problem that we have. Because it is not Fox and Rush Limbaugh that make the New York Times misreport labor. It is assumptions based on the think tanks and all the operations of the political right, frankly, and corporate America that makes this happen. It is not just conservative media. So the New York Times came out, and they sent a reporter out to cover this labor struggle. Oh, fabulous. Great. Good. Always good to have somebody from the Times, huh? In fact, they had two of them out, and it was public employees. Right? And so they, of course, went for the essential story, because they knew it to be true. The people hate public employees, right? We hate our teachers. We hate the people that plow our roads when it snows. We hate the people that pick up our garbage. We hate the people that, if we get sick, take care of us in the hospital. We despise these people. So it, once the public employees are out there protesting, it was just, you know, snap the fingers. Go find some private workers who hate public employees. No problem at all. The New York Times went down to Janesville, Wisconsin, a deindustrialized factory town where the GM plant had recently closed. They went to a bar because, of course, all workers drink. And they just go sit down at the bar, and there they find a worker, and seemingly a blue collar, I assume. Would you display? You have a blue collar here, ma'am? And you show that there is a blue collar. And I assume the New York Times reporter, having, you know, they had probably had, you know, translators and stuff so they could speak to a working class person. And just, in a loud, slow voice. Are you from here? Do you work with your hands? Noble laborer. And the noble laborer said, "Why, yes, I do work with my hands. I'm a former auto worker here in town, former union member, and I hate those public employees. They're just horrible. They get great pensions and great pay. I'm not jealous of them. I just hate them." And so they New York Times put it on the front page. Private sector workers think public workers are lazy, fat, and have great pensions. They come across Lake Mendota and Madison on their yachts to do their 2 hours of work and then pick up their paycheck and then head back to their mansions. And they are despised by the working people of Wisconsin. And this went on the front page of the New York Times. Why this is important is the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, got a call one day from a blogger known as The Beast. Ian Murphy, who lives in upstate New York. The blogger known as The Beast was going to call Scott Walker. He was going to pretend to be Hosni Mubarak, giving him a call of solidarity, saying, "Stand up, don't let him push you out." I'm not kidding, I interviewed the guy. And he said, "But I couldn't get the Egyptian accent down. So when I called, I thought, whose call would Scott Walker take?" And, oh, David Koch, the billionaire Koch brother guy who funds the Tea Party movement. And so, not kidding, goes, gets the governor's office, and the governor's secretary says, David Koch on line one. Governor picks up. And as many of you know, the call was recorded. The governor thinking he was talking to a billionaire campaign contributor. And in the middle of the call, this guy playing David Koch says, well, how are things going out there? And he says, well, the press coverage is pretty good. There was just a New York Times article that was great. It went on the front page. They said private sector workers hate public sector workers. And I'm photocopying that and handing it out to everybody. Well, you know, the front page of the Times had that article. What was funny was the correction appeared inside, only about two lines, which said the worker interviewed in Janesville didn't work at the auto factory, and he wasn't a member of the United Auto Workers, and we spelled his name wrong. They got everything wrong. And the following Saturday, from when that story appeared, the factory workers from Janesville, United Auto Workers Local 95, formed a mass contingent in the march supporting the public workers at the Capitol. So let me bring us around full circle here. Once all these things had happened, the New York Times decided to do an incredible thing, and this other media too. They went out and they polled. They said, what do you think of labor unions and workers? They asked the American people. And the poll came back and it showed, well, 70-80% of the American people like unions. 65-70% of the people like collective bargaining. Great majorities like public employee unions and teacher unions. And they're like, the New York Times people go, well, it must be a polling error. So there's a glitch here. Then seriously, people thought there's got to be something wrong. And then Time magazine went out, did the same poll, got the same results. Again, there must be a polling error. Something must be wrong. Then they asked the pollster, and the pollster said, well, I think I've got the problem here. We haven't polled on labor in 30 years. We haven't asked anybody what they actually thought about labor unions and collective bargaining and public employee unions. And so we didn't really have a very good baseline on this. And what was the baseline for the last 30 years? The baseline for the last 30 years was spin. It was fantasy. It was a lie. And our media, not just the New York Times, certainly not just Fox and Rush Limbaugh, the whole of our media, our mainstream media system, accepted the lie, incorporated the lie into all its coverage, and created the fantasy that Americans don't like unions, that Americans don't like teachers in particular, think they're paid too much. All the things that you've heard, they're all false. They were never real, and yet they existed as an absolute truth in our media. Why did they exist as an absolute truth in our media? Because for the last 30 years, in fact, honestly, for the better part of the last 60 years, we have been in a steady decline in labor coverage in this country. In 1940, we had more than 1,000 labor reporters covering unions in this country. Today, on major media outlets, we have at best, 5. It is an absolute culling out and a denial of a beat. When unions are on strike, they don't even mention the names of our unions. They say the unions are out there. Can you imagine if they were writing a story about GM or Boeing or any company and they said the companies are making profits? No, they name the companies. Why won't they even name the unions? The answer is they have neglected us. They have denied us. They have been totally dysfunctional and disreputable in their approach to the trade union movement. And finally, the people of Wisconsin have come to the streets, and the people of Indiana are in the streets, and the people of Ohio are in the streets, and the people of Michigan are in the streets, and the people of Maine are in the streets saying, you are wrong, and we are coming to prove to you that the American people stand on the side of the labor movement, not the side of a lying press. Thank you.
That was John Nichols of The Nation magazine and The Capital Times, speaking at the recent National Conference for Media Reform in Boston. And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website, fair.org.